Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Please consider supporting Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
Hey, this is Nicole calling from Hamilton, and I needed to let everyone know that I really proudly support Vish and Creative Control. I have for many years, I will for many more, as long as he keeps delivering these amazing interview podcasts. When you hear one of Vish's interviews, you think he's known this guest for years, they're good friends. But the truth is, he approaches every interview, whether it's sort of up-and-coming indie artists or established icons or like famous, intimidating comedians with a really deep, genuine curiosity, so he's never met this person, and the same really warm candor, as so he's known them forever. I think it really lends to a great chat, no matter who he's talking to, and for that reason, I think you should throw Vish, like what, $1 a month? He's got jokes. The jokes make it worth it. Support Creative Control on Patreon.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. I'm Visha's wife, and remember, when you name a dog Janet or Timothy, you are dragging humanity down just a little bit.
Islands is a dynamic and adventurous rock band founded by Nick Thorburn, who is currently based in Los Angeles, California. Adored for his work in the Unicorns, Thorburn formed Islands in 2006, and after working with different musicians, landed on a constant with collaborators Evan and Jordy Gordon and Adam Hafferty. After an unofficial hiatus that began in 2016, Islands have returned with a fabulous new album called Islomania, which is available everywhere on June 11th, 2021, courtesy of Royal Mountain Records. I recently caught up with Nick, Evan, and Jordy for a nice conversation about why Islands almost stopped and why Islomania has brought them back, why Nick and the Gordon brothers are in love, Evan's inventive live streaming project, Planet Sled, Jordy's forthcoming solo album, future plans for Islands, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol with additional support from Blackbird Music, a well-stocked record store with locations in Edmonton and Calgary, and friendly staff who will happily help you source special orders for hard-to-find titles, which you can learn more about at blackbird.ca. And Massey Hall's concert film series, live at MasseyHall.com, where you can stream dozens of 30-minute films for free, including performances by past podcast guests like The Weather Station, plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf at Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. This is the 617th episode of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Islands, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hello, Islands. Are you there?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Nice to see all of you. It is really nice to see all of you. I haven't seen any of you in a long time. And I want to, just for the people listening, I want to go to each of you individually and so they can get used to your voices. I want to start with Nick. Nick, are you there?
I'm here, baby.
It's nice to see you. How are you?
You too. It's nice to see you as well. Speaking of long, your hair is looking fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. I get a lot of compliments on my hair, and it makes me a little self-conscious. It's a lot of attention. I don't mean to draw so much attention to myself with the long hair, you know? You look good, too. Your hair's longer than it's been in some time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Nice to have this hair check-in. Where in the world are you?
I'm in Los Angeles, Lipstick City.
Oh, nice. L.A., is this where you primarily live these days?
It is not only where I primarily live, it's where I secondarily live and trilaterally live. It's just where I live, period.
The primary part discounts any need to mention any other kind of living. That's if we agree that you live there primarily, you don't have to go on and on, Nick. I'm just no, that's good. How long have you been in LA though?
Ugh, I've been here 10 years basically. Too long.
Wow.
Too long.
Yeah, so you are an American. I think of you as Canadian Nick Thorburn.
I am.
But you are in America. How is it? What is it like being in? You've been in 10 years, so you've been there through a lot of tumult. And right now, as we're all speaking, there seems to be a lot of light shining through the shadows with your new administration. How are you feeling being a Canadian in America right now?
I've lived through three. Honestly, I moved to New York in 2007, so I've lived through four presidential administrations, and I don't like any of them, to be honest. Mm.
You're not feeling right now?
Nope.
What is giving you pause? What is giving you pause? They're walking around with no masks. They're like, everything's great.
Well, are we going this way? Are we going to get political? I don't know.
Well,
America's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Well, so why do you stay? Why do you stay in a nightmare?
Supremacist.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Why? Well, where am I going to go? You know, where's good?
Good point.
Canada don't seem so good.
That's fair.
We live in, you know, the word of the day is settler colonialism. And that we all live in these kinds of states, so I don't know where to go. Maybe Antarctica.
Yeah,
maybe Evan.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think like a North Pole. That's where I would go.
You know, it's funny, Nick, that you pointed out Evan, because Evan Gordon, who chimed in there, you don't live in Canada. You don't live in America. Where do you live, Evan?
Oh, well, I live in on another planet that exists only in my mind. Essentially, I mean, I do live in Guelph, Ontario, in a basement bunker, but yeah, I'm not really there. Sort of, I guess I live inside my computer, and maybe that's some advice where you could live.
Don't we all?
We all kind of live inside of our computers and our phones. What is the planet you live on again?
SLED.
Planet Sled.
Yeah, yes. With two D's. Yes. I mean, I don't want to get too literal about that, but yeah, that's how I spend my days. Yeah, on another planet.
No, it's great. I've seen, I've heard tell and seen tell of your planet on the social media, and it's and on YouTube and things like that. It seems very fun to be on a different planet.
Yeah,
and
quite.
To Nick's point, wouldn't we all want to be somewhere else? It sounds like you've just taken this. You say you don't want to get too literal, but I feel like you did a little bit, and I think it's good to get away from it all.
I mean, yeah. In what Nick was saying, I think the idea is instead of trying to escape to another planet, it would be better to maybe make the Earth a better place. And I know it seems doomed, but...
I like that. Maybe it's possible.
Maybe it's possible. I don't know. You know, like, everyone's like, oh, America sucks. I'm going to move to Canada. Canada sucks. I'm going to move to America. But, you know, just wherever you are, trying to make it better, not for yourself, but for the people who need it.
I like that better.
No, I'm with you.
The view, what I like about Evan being on Planet Sled is he looks down upon the world with clarity of vision, and he can give humans advice on how to make
Earth better from his perspective. Yeah, it's a good tool.
You have taken on something of an advisory role. Is that right, Evan?
Yeah, yeah. I guess almost like in a fantasy way that living on this other planet, I have the oversight to tell people where they're going wrong. But, you know, I think everyone knows where they're going wrong anyway. They're just choosing to ignore it.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a push to know which way is the right way to go. I think that's what you're saying. We all know somehow, maybe. Well, your brother just chimed in. Jordy Gordon, you're there. I heard you. How's it going?
Hi there. I'm doing okay, thank you.
Now, where in the world are you, Jordy?
I'm in Toronto, Ontario, which used to be close to my brother in Guelph, but it seems a world away at the moment. Yes. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, when was the last time you two, I think of the Gordon brothers as being thick as thieves, virtually intertwined. You know, I can't imagine one without the other. When's the last time you were physically in the same space as your brother Evan?
I think it was in July or August.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 10 months.
Wow, holy cow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense. We're all living through it. One thing before I go on with you there, Jordy, is Evan, you are, I think, if I recall correctly, you are the first guest I've had on my show from Guelph since I left Guelph. And so
interesting.
Yeah, it's weird how it's worked out. I had a couple of, maybe I'm missing someone and I feel bad if I forgot anyone, but I thought I would just check in before we hear more about Toronto. How is Guelph doing, particularly without me and my family there? Is it, I assume it's whiter, but is there anything else going on?
No, actually, that's kind of funny, but, you know, outside of downtown, there's many different colors of people.
That's true.
Here, I don't know, you know, it's hard to answer that question. I don't know actually when you left Guelph, but...
December 30th, 2019.
And
so
when did...
We were here by, January 2020, and then 2 months later, because I left Guelph.
Started, so.
Yeah, I left Guelph, and the world was like, nope, the equilibrium's off. We got to stop everything. This sucks. I think that's what happened.
I don't actually really know, because I haven't... because it's been shut down. You know, I don't really have a concept of what Guelph is like at all. I don't go... Like, I literally only walk around the couple blocks around my house and rarely in the other parts. But I don't know. It seems to be okay, but it's like anywhere in the world. Like, Guelph used to be a place where artists could go because it was cheap to live or, you know, things like that. But it's just like... super expensive, tons of bougie people doing bougie stuff things.
Yeah, it sounds like...
Just like wherever. It's not any different, I guess, than anywhere else other than it's nice. But no, I do. I miss running into you time and again on the streets, but I wouldn't even know that you left if, you know, if you wouldn't have told me.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people are not sure what anyone's up to, right? Is that what you're saying? Like, just in town.
Yeah. Or what the overall vibe of the city is like. I do follow Guelph Today, the newspaper, the local newspaper. So I know that. But yeah, that's, I don't know. It's the same, but not headed in a, in some ways headed in a good place. But I don't think it's going to be like a great music art place going forward, because nobody's going to be able to afford to live here. Or they already can't. So.
It's one of the reasons we moved, I might say, actually, to be frank with you. Nick, are you able to get out and see people in Los Angeles at all, or do you have to hunker down for the most part?
No, I'm fully vaccinated, so it feels fairly, you know, there's courtesy mask wearing when indoors in shops and stuff, but otherwise it feels, you know, I've seen people, tons of people all the time.
Well, that's good.
I feel very,
it's very different. Like,
yeah, it's so crazy to see images coming in. I'm so happy. I'm not jealous or anything, but it's just so different because we're under like the hardest lockdown we've been in the whole time of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So
it just seems like so disconnected. Yeah. You know what I mean? That some places could be like that and other
LA really
could not, but that's good. I'm really happy. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. LA really went through it in January.
There's
long lasting problems or things that have been exacerbated by all of this. But as far as being able just psychologically to get out of the house and hug friends.
Whoa, you've done a hug?
I've been hugging. I just hugged someone like 10 minutes ago. So, yeah.
Really? You hugged someone?
Dude, what's it like? What is it?
It's
like?
Pretty weird. It's nice. Like, it's kind of warm. There's a warm, your heart rate goes down a little bit. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't want to rub it in your face. I'm sorry.
No, I know one day. I know one day we'll.
Yeah, in like 2 years. Well, all I was going to say about was January. It was really bad here and it just turned so fast. And I think these things, they come on really fast and they change really quickly. So I don't think you guys are going to be, I don't want to predict, but I think you'll be out of it before you think.
Oh yeah. No.
I hope that's true.
Yeah.
We hope that's true. It's hard to say. Jordy, have you had a hug? Have you been able to hug anyone?
No, not really. There's definitely outdoors. I mean, the spring has just sprung in Toronto, so
yeah, it's good.
There's some outdoor walking friends and stuff. I don't think I've been as strict as my brother, but yeah.
Okay.
Hugs would be nice.
Okay. This is good. So when's the last time, Jordy, by your reckoning, I asked you, for some reason I'm asking you to go through your mental day timer and figure out when you last saw people. When's the last time islands were all in the same room? Because this is a monumental occurrence that it's back, it feels like, to me, because...
Yeah. Well, that would have been November 2019.
Oh, okay. So not that long ago. You were working on the record, I presume.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Nick invited us down to LA, and we were there for 2 or 3 weeks. Evan was there a little longer. I worked on one of the songs with Nick like earlier that year, I think, when I was visiting. And yeah, then we were all together. It was amazing.
That's nice.
And if only I relished it more.
Should have hugged a little more hugging, maybe in retrospect, could have gone down. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was trying to think of like, because we hadn't even really rehearsed at that point. I'm trying to remember when we started this last record. I think we just went right into it. I can't remember now, but I do remember that with this band, it's like right back at it when, as soon as you set up for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited for the time we rehearsed for this next stage or whatever. I feel like it will feel like no time has passed at all.
Yeah. That's a chemistry. That's a love. You guys love each other. And it comes through when you get together. When you congregate, the love is present. Nick, my understanding, and it's not just my understanding, I think this is a fact, islands sort of vanished for a period. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment of what happened to Islands?
Yeah, I think that's fair. We finished out a year of touring in 2016 with the release of our last albums, two that we released simultaneously. And we finished the year with some 10-year anniversary shows from the first record. And after that, it just felt, yeah, I felt kind of spent. You know, I felt a little spent, out of gas, I guess. And it wasn't necessarily planned explicitly, but it just felt like dormant for sure. And then that changed right around the time Jordy was in LA. I had started working with this producer who'd worked on the very first record that Evan and Jordy joined Islands for, which was in 2009. So again, the three of us have been playing music together for a long time. So that is also part of the chemistry and the muscle memory. But so I went into the studio with Chris Cody, who produced Vapors, the record that Evan and Jordy joined Islands for. And we were in his studio at Sunset Sound. And I didn't know if it was going to be. I just knew I had some songs and started to feel the itch again. And went into the studio with this thing I'd demoed. And we were filling it out. And Jordy was in town. So I just had him come by. Jordy was in town on tour. And so I had him come by and play bass on the song. And which is usually, that's Evan's station. But I didn't even know what it was yet. I was like, maybe this is Islands. I'm not sure. And yeah, then it just started to take shape and it started to feel like, oh, I think this is Islands.
You said that you said you felt spent. And I just want to go back to that for a moment. What was it about being in Islands, I guess, or making music per se in that vein that gave you some pause? Do you remember? Do you recall?
Yeah, I mean, we released two records on one day and it was like, well, where do you go from here? I mean, three records in one day? What's our next trick that we pull out of our sleeve? I feel like I'd been tap dancing for a long time, trying to get people's attention. And you start to feel like, well, I'm banging my head against the wall here, trying to like, we were doing our thing in the corner, like, this is what we're doing and come check it out. But it's hard to feel like you're in a bit of a vacuum. So I felt a little exhausted by that feeling of trying to tap dance. And so I didn't know it at the time, but I just needed a long sabbatical, I guess, personally, to reengage with what I loved about playing with the brothers, playing with Adam, playing in general, writing songs and recording. I just started to lose perspective. And so I just needed a timeout, I guess. I needed to go off planet.
Right. Okay. So it's spreading around the band. Everyone goes off planet every once in a while, I guess is what you're saying. And
oh, yeah.
For sabbatical. Speaking of that, Evan, you know, I know your work very well. I know your trajectory. Can you relate to what Nick is describing in terms of that shift from, I don't want to say workaholic enthusiasm, but when we're in the creative realm, you do have that a little bit. You're just super excited to make stuff. But then at some point you get a little tapped out. And I wonder, if I think of your trajectory, Evan, I feel like you've had similar bouts of like manic activity and then I got to take a break. Can you relate to what Nick was going through at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I don't think we need to paint it as that's some unusual thing for a musician or artist to do. I think that's totally normal. Like, I think it's more abnormal if people continue, you know, to push that. And also, no, I don't know, like, my personally, yeah, like, I've stopped bands and started bands and thought that I would never do this again or that again. But as those different periods unfold, you really realize that it's all part of the process, you know. It's not like, at the time, it seems like a crazy decision. It's like, oh, I'm going to stop doing this or break up the band or whatever it may be. But then through the lens of time, you see that. And it's just like, I think, a natural ebb and flow of things. I think the unusual thing about Islands is its longevity. You know, a lot of bands don't even clear, like, two records before packing it in, you know? So maybe it seems unusual to start that up again, but it's not, you know? It's just like, Nick, I know you could never, and me the same, and Jordy as well, like, we could never turn off creating music. That's not like an option. And if we stopped it for a while, it will always come back.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think I knew that in the interim between 2016 and now ish I didn't know. But I think you're right, that impulse is, even if it's dormant, it's still there, and it came back right away, I think.
Yeah, and I think you were referring to, like, something that's always hung me up throughout my music career, is the things that make you want to stop are these external forces, you know? It's not, I mean, yeah. The simplest way of putting it is, like, oh, you know, we're not getting the proper audience we want, or people aren't listening to it, but it's more than just that. It's just all these external forces, when we're just our job and our role is, like, we're rocking out and we're putting this stuff out, and then it does get discouraging, and, like, I think everyone needs a break when that doesn't always go smoothly, right? Like, yeah. Or when that becomes more than actual the music, like all the business and all that stuff. Yeah. I don't know that. So now that that's not happening anymore, or when you get a break from that, it's easy. It's you need a break from that, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Like all that nonsense.
Well, it's kind of like a tour. Well, when I think about it, when I think about what you're saying, it's kind of like a tour, right? Like you got 25 dates, and you play one show, and it's incredible. And it's a packed house, and you play well, and then 3 days later you have a show, and none of that happens. But then there's always another show. Like, there's always going to be another show, and then you try it again. And I feel like that's a microcosm of what you're describing. Like, it goes up. There's a song, one of your new songs, Islamania. It goes high, it goes low. I mean, that's kind of what it's like, right? Did I sound like a kiss ass quoting your own lyrics to you back? Like, was that bad?
Well, I loved it. I don't know. I guess if that
yeah,
makes...
Yeah, I loved it, too.
If that makes you a kiss ass, then so
research.
Be it. No, and that's what that song's about. It's about reconciling with that manic relationship to making music for people, and to be in this very privileged place that we're in, too.
Well, Evan was talking about external factors. Jordy, like, I don't know if you have a perspective on what we've been discussing, but, like, it is interesting to me, as a public figure... As a person, rather, you're just sort of living your life. But as a public figure, everyone seems to be counting your days and months and years, you know, Jordy? Like, it's like, it's been 5 years since an Islands record. That must mean they were hibernating this whole time, doing nothing.
Yeah.
And is that kind of weird, do you think?
Well, for me, the ultimate optimism in life personally is making something. Like, in terms of writing a song, you always have... something new comes to your life and you're like, I'm going to put all my efforts in this new song. And then maybe, you know, after working for a year in a record, then it's not in your hands anymore. As artists, it's like starting stuff is the easiest part, I find.
Yeah.
But letting it linger in the world is maybe not the most optimistic thing.
Right. Right.
I know this one thing about... So our last shows were the 10th anniversary shows of Return to the Sea, mm-hmm. which Evan and I didn't play on. And it's one amazing thing about that we've been lucky at is that Islands has had some, like, really good, strong fans that have followed us the whole time. And we've been really lucky to be able to go on tour, and in many towns, people will come out that have been stuck with us for a long time, that have stuck with us.
You made it sound like that there was like an entrapment. they're stuck with us. There's nothing they can do.
But there has always been a thing where the first record that we weren't a part of has been beloved by so many people. So giving, and it did actually feel really good to give. It was only two concerts, one in New York, one in LA, and they were really fun and they were really big. And I feel like we finally were like, I know a lot of people want to hear Return to the Sea, and we did it. And it felt really good. It was really fun. But it definitely was like closing. It felt to me like kind of closing the chapter of being like tied to that trajectory of that first album, maybe. And it's been nice to put it to bed a little and then have some time off. And now that's not a factor or something.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, this definitely feels like a new beginning and a new chapter. And I remember when I also, to speak on the fans too, I remember when Richard Reed Perry from Bella Kest and Arcade Fire, he co-produced that first record, Return to the Sea, and played all over it and stuff. And so he came out to LA and to New York to play with us. And I remember him turning to me and just saying, like, God, your fans are so sweet. They're so gentle. And like, it's true that they are, like, they've been stuck with us, but they are just such a gentle, not to group a bunch of people into one grouping, but the people that tend to come, like, it's small but beautiful, you know, like we've built this small thing that's filled with like really positive and for the most part, I think really kind-hearted and like considerate listeners who really do listen and care, and they listen as much to the new stuff as the old stuff. Of course, they have an emotional connection to some of the records that they might have listened to when they were younger, but people are really, I feel really blessed that we have such a cool audience. And I think part of that comes with it being more a smaller audience, you know, than like when you get to a certain degree and you're playing arenas and then suddenly you have these meatheads that come out to your show that just heard the one song on, you know, alt radio and don't have like feel a bond to you. So I feel like we're in a really nice place with all of it, and it makes me excited to get back.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think I can't tell, Nick, are you, I think of you as a sentimental person. Are you a nostalgic person per se?
I try not to be professionally. I try to keep moving. I try not to be looking back, but I think on a personal level, I am quite nostalgic, quite sentimental.
Well, like, and I'm trying to visualize Jordy. I assume, Jordy, were you on tour with US Girls when you were in LA at that point?
Yeah, that was when we played Coachella, and you're not allowed to do anything else near Coachella when you play Coachella, and it's also two weekends in a row, so you have to hang out.
Right, there's a radius clause, you can't play other shows.
Yeah, exactly. So right. I had a week hanging out. So it felt really good to be able to do a little session with my old friend.
Yeah, so I visualize you showing up to that session and Nick giving you a big hug. Just a warm, nostalgic, sentimental, emotional hug. Nick, is that what happened?
Yeah, didn't even think twice about it either. Didn't wash my hands after. Yeah, usually I wash my hands after and give a hug.
Well, I you know, it's interesting, like, to play shows behind a record that's 10 years old, because you realize that the people who are there have an association with that record from 10 years ago. There's nostalgia in the air, you know? Like, they're, some of them, I assume, are just like, oh, I love that record when it came out. This reminds me of 10 years ago. And that can be complicated. That can be a complicated thing to live in as the performer, I would guess. Was it weird to be, did you play the record in order? Did you do the whole nine yards?
With Return to those 10th anniversary shows?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we did it. We did it like we played the record front to back. And then we left the stage and came back and just played some of our other favorites from we played like another four songs from the last record, the last two records, and one or two others that we wanted to play. So,
yeah. But otherwise, you're a forward-thinking dude.
That was the one moment I gave, one space I allowed for, yeah, looking back and reflecting. But otherwise, I think it's evident in the records, too. If you listen from record to record, from the first record to the second record, there's a huge shift. It would have been easy to try to replicate whatever modest success there was from that first album, but to just continue giving that. And I did a 180, and then with Vapors, the third record, another 180. So yeah, I'm much more interested in just continuing along a path and just revisiting, you know, the past, I guess.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that with an audience and recordings, people that would love an older record, they know that record way better than we do, even if we worked on it. Because, you know, there's not, I feel like most artists aren't listening to their back catalog very often, as opposed to an audience member. So
yeah, That's probably fair. I mean, Evan, I think of you as always being from the future, always thinking ahead. That's my read on you. Even when you have been in bands where there's like an aesthetic choice to maybe look like greasers from like a bygone era, it feels like deconstruction-y or something. What's the word that the English students would say? I'm an English student. Postmodern or something. What is Evan? What is your relationship with time in terms of your art and the work you make? Are you more someone who's interested in being ahead of everything, or do you feel like you?
Well, I would say the answer is neither of those things. I'm most concerned with the present, actually, and the older I get, the more I do, that is where I want to be. And I think that's a lot of the hardships that comes from being in a band, is because a lot of what you're doing is not in the present. You're recreating moments from the past if you're playing live, you know, or music that has been created before. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but where I want to live, I don't want to think about what is going to happen in the future, and I don't, you know, I like having memories about the past, but I'm purely focused and concerned on the present, if
the
that
now
makes sense.
You're into the now.
Yeah, because like, why would I waste my time and mental energy thinking about the past or the future when I could focus on the present and accomplish? I just feel like I'm theoretically able to accomplish way more that way.
What about technologically? You always seem to know what people are doing. Like, we've alluded to this thing you're doing, which you, I think, very modestly, or maybe a little too modestly, you don't want to talk about Planet Sled. And
I don't want to plug what I'm doing if we're having a talk about Islands.
Oh, I
but
see.
Yeah. Anyway, I've since
ladies
the
and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The alarm situation is now under control.
That's
the
my robot.
Reset momentarily.
Wait, where is that? Is,
oh, I thought that
are
was
you? Do you live in the future? You have a voice that comes on in your apartment telling you that everything's okay?
That's terrifying. Yes. That sounds like The Purge.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I really thought
that I was crazy.
I thought that was
wow.
a bit. I totally thought that was some
yeah.
kind of
yeah.
Planet Sled bit. Okay.
That was
you
wow.
okay? Are you okay, Jordy? First of all.
Yeah, what did they say? Were you
the
able
woman
to hear?
Said we're okay.
She's a nice lady. She sounds nice.
Yeah.
She sounded nice. Yeah, I will say that.
Does she live in the basement?
No, she lives in my ceiling.
She's in the ceiling. Yeah, right.
Well, yeah. I will say, I'm sorry, sure Evan can speak on this much better than I can, but I get what you're saying, Vish, because Evan is doing something really incredible with Planet Sled and his weekly live streams, where he's every, I mean, I don't even know how to, I don't even understand it, but it's MIDI controlled
yeah.
video.
Yeah.
No one's doing that. And it's every week is a different theme and it's incredible. And I think people should be watching. And if you're listening to this, you can go to, is it, what's your YouTube page, Evan? Cause it's a weekly live show.
Oh, I'll
yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'll link to it. I'll link to it. Don't
okay.
worry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sled. Yeah. Sled with two D's. Official, but yeah,
it's
I just
it's very impressive.
When the pandemic started, and since I, you know, before that, in the few months before, I had been doing like show, like I haven't really played live since the last Island shows, maybe a few shows after, and I kind of didn't really mind because it, and then I was trying to do my own stuff, doing shows, and I was doing these big like multimedia shows with lights and video and stuff and music, and then it was kind of a drag because only like I don't care about having a small audience, but only like a few people would show up, and it just seemed like crazy that I was putting all this energy in to that. But then the pandemic hit, and I was like, and everyone's like, live streaming, it's gonna take off, this is the thing, and I was so excited. I'm like, I don't have to go to another place, and I don't have to deal with like the environment of a bar or, you know, things like that. And I can just make what I want. So I started doing that every week. And, you know, not many people watch a show, but I don't really care. It's like I've got a college degree, basically, like what I've learned so much about broadcasting. And I do really think that I know everyone's getting excited to open everything back up and have things go back to normal. I do think there's a lot of potential in live streaming as an art form, especially I've been doing interactive stuff like over Zoom, and it's something that you don't get anywhere else. Like having doing a live show, it's sort of like, I guess, a radio call-in show or like a TV call-in show would be similar to that. But like just having spontaneous interaction, and I'll you know, get people to call in, and you did it, Nick, right? And like do things to their face and special effects, and I really love it. I hope that even though like people should get back to live music, there's stuff really special about that, but this is something that more people explore going ahead into the future.
There's no need for that to stop what you're doing. We can have both, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
You've made a lane. You've like carved a nice lane.
Well, this is Nick, I just want to say, Nick, I appreciate you letting us have this space. All of you for letting us have the space to talk about it, because I think that's significant. Because there's part of me, I'm with you, Evan. Like, there's, yes, I would like to be able to hug at least Jordy of the four of us here. I'd like to hug Jordy at some point.
He's the most huggable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'd like some normalcy back. But there's also stuff like what you're doing, I think, is genius. And I think I would hate for you have more of a chance to have an audience for it, because we're all kind of around. And there's lots of stuff that we used to do, we had to do, that I don't have to do anymore. And it's amazing. I don't have to get on a bus at 6 a.m. to go to the office. I roll out of bed. I have a very civilized breakfast. I have nothing's too rushed. I get to work. I mean, Nick, have you found that? Like, you're not I think of you as a bit of a road dog. When you've got a record to promote, you hit the road hard. We've all been together on the road. So I know what it's like, but are you kind of relishing any aspect of this stillness as a musician?
I'm definitely ready to get back on the road and tour. The thing is, I think we can have both things. I think people are still going to want to watch. People love to sit on a couch and watch things. So I think there's plenty of room for the space that Evan's created, and there's plenty of room for bands to go out and hit the road and tour. And I think it's a balance. I definitely got burnt out a little bit, you know, the older you get with touring and stuff, but I like being out in the world. I'm definitely, I miss it. And in the last couple of months, LA has definitely come back online, so to speak. And so I do enjoy being in the world, but I think there's space to check in and check out at your leisure too.
Well, yours was, you've done 30 episodes. Is that true, Evan?
Yeah, yeah. We should move on from
that. I just think it's amazing that every week, Evan's done a new show every week for 30 weeks. But if we were to be on tour for 30 weeks around the world in some crazy way, we would have no new material. It would be the same songs. So the amazing thing is that he's had time to...
And that's why there is a cycle for all artists of touring and making music. And it's different times. It's different time periods for different people. I guess it's more, if you're more business focused, people keep it tighter, right? Because they're trying to keep the cycles going. But that doesn't, that doesn't really... anything. So
but here's one of the things. I know you want to move on, and I appreciate your modesty, Evan, but I will say this. What I like about it, beyond the fact that it's cool looking and it's fun, I like that you took this time. It feels like, I know you were doing this before the pandemic. I appreciate anyone who's working every week on something and releasing a song a week or writing a song a week. In my case, like, I make a podcast every week. You're doing something every week, and I appreciate that you on some level, I'm sure you would agree, you've been upgrading your skills. You've used this time to get better at doing that stuff. And I think that's what I also appreciate. I appreciate your persistence and your spirit. And like, thanks, I'm not going to be, that's what I'm getting at a little bit too. Does that make sense?
No, thanks. Yeah. I really, I hate to say this, but because I do love being out in the world too, and I love playing shows. I'm not trying to you know, make a, like Nick says, it's not either or. I do love all that stuff, and I miss all that, but just when they said things were locked down, I was like, yes, finally I can just do whatever this what I want to do. And ever since, like, I work for 12 hours a day every day for a whole year. I've never stopped, and it feels great, you know. I'm not trying to brag, but yeah,
it's
good. This has been an amazing opportunity for me to do that, you know. And I feel bad for you, Nick, because your time, it's like your timing didn't work out the same. It's like you had your moment of or your time when you were making all those songs and writing, and then we made the record, and then the pandemic hit, you know what I mean? It was just like if that was shifted, like that you had started writing when the pandemic hit, it would have been all perfect. But you know, you can never
but the songs would have all been about lockdown.
Yeah.
And it would have been like Van Morrison.
Yeah, viral shedding, lots of epidemiology.
You know, I will
viral sledding.
Viral sled. I will say though, Nick, I don't know if you would agree, there's a certain much needed exuberance to Islamania. Like, I feel like it's a kind of a party record in a lot of ways, and it's really upbeat. Even though some of the lyrical themes might, you know, kind of belied by maybe some darker themes, but it does feel really upbeat and up. And you know, my son the other day is 9, and I had Do It With The Lights On blasting in the kitchen, and he had that thing with a kid has when he knows something's being said that might be like innuendo, you know, and he was like, "Do it with the lights on. Do what?" And I had to be like, "It's dancing. It's about dancing." He says we're dancing. Yes. Nick, is Do It With The Lights On all about dancing, or is it about something else?
It's about dancing.
That's what dancing. I said. I wasn't lying then. Yeah.
Very literal.
my ultimate point is, do you have a set, like, it's to Evan's point, bad timing on the one hand. On the other, we need a record like this right now. I feel great playing in the house. I'm not feeling down about some folk singer, you know, singing some woeful song about some terrible time. Did that feel purposeful? was it purposeful to do like an upbeat up record?
No, I wasn't anticipating a global pandemic when putting the record together, but I think I think the band had gone through this arc of songs that were a little, you know, there's some sad records, there's some mournful records, there's some angry records, there's some miserable records, and I don't think I'd ever really harnessed a truly exuberant happy record. And so that was, even though, like you said, some of the themes are a little darker lyrically, it does feel like I've gotten, like I wanted to lock into something, and timing wise that does seem to help. You know, it's coming out June 11th, which, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like in other parts of the listening, the world where people are listening to Islands, but I know here in the town that I live, it's just going to be pretty much back to some kind of regular scheduled living. And so I think people are definitely going to be looking to celebrate and have a soundtrack to that joy that they're feeling.
Yeah.
And so I
think
it's quite well timed.
And as long as there's no massive power outages, they can do it with the lights on. Like, play that song and dance around with all the lights on.
That's true. That's a good electrical point, I would say. Evan, that's good. Nick, this joy, I don't know if, I assume it might stem from your personal life or what have you, like just your state of mind. Do you know, if you think back on when you formulated these songs and maybe came up with the soundtracks for them, so to speak, do you know where that joy sort of came from? Did it follow a period of not feeling as joyful, so to speak?
Maybe by default, I'm usually in a miserable state of mind. And I'm not sure why I chose to get out of it. But I think it was like, well, if I'm coming back, if Islands is coming back, if we're coming back, let's do it. Let's do it a little different. Let's do it with
the lights on.
With the lights on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and it wasn't a totally intentional. I sort of let it kind of just happen, unravel kind of on its own. But mm-hmm. When we got together and we're in the studio laying the songs down, it's just kind of how it shook out. And I just went towards that.
Right. No, it's good. It's very, very good. Jordy, you talked about your reunion with Nick to work on that session during the Coachella break or whatever. But can you first speak to when Evan got involved? I'm going to go to Jordy on this because I know Jordy's a good storyteller. He loves his brother. Oh, yeah. Do you remember how Evan got involved?
Well, Evan is essential to... You would want him to help with your record if you were anybody, because mm-hmm. he's the best at organizing. Evan has so many good skills making a record in terms of, like, he'll make more lists than us and stuff, I find. he's good at, like, getting down to the work. Also at, you know, everything. Anyway, I couldn't quite give as much time as Evan could in that month when we recorded. So Evan went down a few, maybe a week earlier than me to...
Oh, you weren't in the same... You weren't there together in any way?
We were, yeah. But oh, Evan just went down a little bit before me. Okay. And I wasn't there, so I don't know what happened. But I assume they went over all the songs.
That's when we decided all the parts, all the good parts that yeah. I would play, and all the bad ones.
Exactly.
Some executive decisions were made without Jordy. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Nick, you know, I, as you may know, I love the Gordon brothers in a strange way, and maybe they would agree or disagree. We've grown up together in a lot of ways. We've become adults together, living in the same town, and having some adventures. Mm-hmm. If we may, indulge in some flattery and some, perhaps some gratitude even. What is it about the Gordon brothers? Because you've worked with so many, I would say, you've worked with so many people. For those who don't know, Islands has had different iterations. The Gordon brothers seems to be a very long-standing constant. So that's a testimony about them, I would guess. A testament, rather, to them. What do you want to say about the Gordon?
And the Padlocks.
Yeah.
And the padlocks that I put on.
Right, they're trapped, just like all your fans.
They are trapped, yes. Everyone's stuck with me. No, I love Evan and Jordy so dearly. I feel like there's a fraternal connection that feels super rare. I had an older sister growing up, so I didn't have a brother thing. So I know they have this super strong brotherly connection, and I think I just catch the vapors from that. I catch their brotherly whiff. And it's not by accident that they joined for 2009's Vapors, and I still play with them. I mean, it's ultimately they are free to leave at any point, but if it were up to me, they would be with me forever. Cause they're incredible. I mean, look, I could get emotional talking about this, but they're perfect. They're incredible musicians. They have an incredible outlook on the world and how they choose to live in the world and exist in the world, and their positive attitude about the situation that's kept me. I don't think Islands would have necessarily survived as long as it had without them. I think they've been fundamental to the continuation of this band. So I owe them, I feel a debt of gratitude, but I feel so lucky that I got to meet them and play with them, because they're really just such a well-rounded collaborators.
It's just very lovely, lovely and well said. And I got a little emotional there myself. Evan, similar vein, I guess. Do you like Nick?
What do you hate about Nick?
No, but you touched on a really good point there about the brotherhood. Is that you know, maybe the first like couple of years I felt like, oh, I'm playing in a band with this band Islands, but ever since I just feel like we're a family, and it's less about the actual band. It's like, oh yeah, of course we're gonna get together and play music like anytime you ask, or because it doesn't feel like anything else. I feel like we're like any other groups I've been involved with. Yeah, like it's like a more real personal connection that we have, and that's what carries through it, and that's what comes to the front when we make music together, you know. But to me it's like half about the music and then half about like being together as a family. I don't know. Like, I do think of you as our other brother. It's not older because we're the same age, but and musically, you know, like, your songs are insanely good and you make so many of them, and it's always like, there's never any question like, oh, do I want to play on this, or does it like fit? It's always like so exciting. And
Jordy, do you have anything to add to the love intervention that we've been engaging in?
I guess I've just been, because performing is such a big thing for me, I've been trying to this year, I guess the nostalgic thing is, be like, oh, if shows were done forever now, if that was a thing, I do have to remember how lucky I've been to play so many, to be able to perform so much in life. And with Islands, it was amazing because when we went to New York to record Vapors, I hadn't really done a lot in my, I had started early in my life playing music, but that was like such a big step for us to be able to play shows out of Canada and to real audiences and stuff. And even just to go into the studio with Nick that first day, it was amazing to be pretty new to him, but he always has let us like fly in the studio, and it was amazing. I don't remember 2009 how old I was, but just being let loose in like a great studio was such a privilege and an amazing opportunity. And then every time we make a record, the more it goes on, the more we feel like a great family unit.
Well, my read on Nick, and it's too bad he can't be here today, my read on Nick is that he's a talent spotter. He's a nurturer of talent. I think, you know, Nick, you're something of a producer, I think, on some level. You know what people are capable of, even if maybe they don't somehow. Is that fair? Do you feel like you have that a little bit?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting way to put it. I don't disagree. I think there's accuracy there. I definitely remember watching Evan and Jordy's band, The Magic, play the first time. Jamie, who started Islands with me in 2005, was working with The Magic in some capacity. And I remember we had them open for Islands in the States. This was in 2008. Jamie wasn't in the band anymore, but he had showed me some of their songs and I loved them, and had them open for us. And I just remember watching them. I remember watching them in New York City on tour. And I just remember thinking, these guys have got it. And I don't know what the future of Islands is, but whatever is happening here, I think I need to link up with these brothers, because I think it was like, I think there's good analogies to relationships, and like, you know, we're in an open marriage, the three of us. We have our own projects that we get to come dip in and dip out, but the love is there. And it was love at first sight for me, really. It was. So.
No, that's lovely to hear. I mean, I'm thinking about all the hats you wear as a writer, as a director, as a musician. You know, I feel like that's where I was coming from. Like, I think in those roles, you kind of have to see things in people that they don't maybe recognize about themselves. That's where I was coming from.
I like that. I like that. I do. I don't know how conscious I am of, like, I'm thinking of the word scheme. It's not coordinated. I let taste and intuition sort of guide.
Yeah, instinct. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked, I thought the taste was there, you know.
Yeah.
I thought they were tasteful. And if you listen to, I think one of my favorite Islands records was a real band record, Asleep and a Forgetting. And if you listen to the record and the choices that Evan and Jordy and myself are making, it's just very tasteful. It's a very elegant sounding record, and musically it just really demonstrates the ability to do less, but to be able to say so much without really playing much at all. And I think that's a true sign of I don't know, that's just that's just good shit.
Well, I want to say that the chemistry between you guys and the rest of the band, people who aren't here, is evident on Isle of Mania. For what it's worth, to hear it from me, it's there, and it's a fantastic record. So congratulations to all of you, and it's nice to have you back. And I know I've taken up a lot of your time today, but I do want to give you each an opportunity to talk about Island's hopes and dreams, I suppose, in this uncertain world, but also give you a chance to talk about anything else you're working on. And let's start, Nick, let's start with you in terms of Island stuff, because that's why we're here, and that's what we're celebrating. Do you know what's coming up next, I guess, is the easiest way to ask this question at this point in time?
Well, you know, man plans, God laughs, as they say. So I have an idea of what I would like to happen, and it involves us getting back into the studio. There's two more records that I have conceptualized, and a bunch of recording has been done on the second, sort of the answer to this, the counterpoint to Isle of Mania. It's more of the like miserable side of things. The Sunday morning to Isle of Mania Saturday night. And a lot of that is recorded to some extent, but kind of the record I'm even more excited about is the third record, which I really, my hope is that the four of us, Adam, myself, Evan, and Jordy, can get into the room and figure the songs out. I've demoed them, but very basic. Like I made a conscious decision not to add drum machine or synth lines or anything outside of vocal and the more basic guitar, because I really want Evan and Jordy and Adam to be as involved, because it always works out well. The last couple records, Taste and Should I Remain Here at Sea, the best songs from those records are the ones that we fleshed out together. So I'm excited about the possibility of the four of us getting in the room and recording as a band, which I think will happen. I hope will happen.
Oh, definitely will happen. Yeah.
And then in the meantime, yeah, just playing some shows. And I think playing this record live is going to be really fun, just getting back out with the band and playing live and just getting Adam back in the mix too.
Are there shows scheduled?
There are close to being scheduled. Yeah. We're circling some dates.
I feel like you're keeping secrets from me and I resent it, but that's okay. I only resent it a little. I understand. It's impossible. How are you supposed to really predict what you can do, I guess, is maybe where you're coming from.
We're very close. You know, I think the fall, the late summer, the fall in the U.S. is the lights are coming back on. So there will be shows happening. And inshallah, they will be happening with Islands. So.
Nice. Well, that's great to hear. So we'll look for... Oh, sorry. Just while I have you and we're on the topic, where do you...
No, I got to go. Sorry. Bye, guys.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't go yet. I'm sorry. I just have one more question for you, Nick. No, where can people go to learn more about... that woman's going to come back and tell me to get off the phone in Jordy's apartment. Where can people go to learn more about Islands, Nick?
Google.
Okay, Google. Yeah, Googling Islands will bring up some results.
Yeah, just that'll Google be easy. Islands. That should be easy.
Okay. All right. We'll find out.
I don't know. Where do people go to learn anything?
You got a new...
pick up a magazine.
Pick up a magazine. That's good advice from 20 years ago. It's you can go to Royal Mountain Records, right? That's where the record is.
Yeah.
Coming.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. You can pre-order the record.
Yeah. Pre-order the record. I'll link to all that stuff in the...
Podcast
stuff as well. Evan, sheepish self-promoter that you are, what's going on in your world within Islands, I suppose, and beyond it? Anything to report?
No, well, my plan is to just carry on this season of Planet Sled, my weekly show. So that would end in, September, I guess. And then, like, I'm excited to play shows again. It's just so hard. I know the perspective is so different in America right now, and I need to bear that in mind, but I'm... like, nobody's fully vaccinated here, and everything's locked down, so it's hard. Like, I know it's going to happen. It's just hard to imagine if I see a date of a show. Like, it's hard for me to believe that would even be able to take place because just because there's been so many ups and downs. Like, you know, I think there was a point last year where we were talking about, oh yeah, in the spring we'll play shows. And I'm not saying this all to cast any doubt
I'm excited.
I'm excited for it to happen. It's just you're asking what my plans are, what I'm thinking about it. I'm just circling back to living in the present. I'm just not going to think about it. But when it comes, I'm excited. You know, I've been in this basement for like 14 months. Been anywhere.
The future. The concept of the future, I think, is surreal. Is maybe what you're kind of getting at. Like, it's just hard to imagine everything happening again, even though we really wanted to. It's just hard because I think, to your point, and as we're speaking, there have been a couple of false starts where it felt like, oh, okay, things are getting better, and then they take a few steps back. So I understand. It's just hard to imagine it happening, right?
Yeah, and since it's hard, I just don't bother imagining it happening.
Yes.
But other than that, I'm excited to, you know, making records with Islands is the best. We have so much experience, and we work really well together and are super productive, and I'm excited, Nick, to hear you talk about doing more sessions. And I think that's I don't know, something that our band, it separates us from other groups, is that we're like a really good recording band, and that's something that, in, you know, the golden age of rock and roll, groups would record all the time. Like, they're just like, okay, we went in and did like 25 more songs, and they're just like doing that a lot. And I think now it's more like, you know, not to generalize, but a lot of groups are like the opposite. They're like, we're a live band, and oh, we gotta make a record, and they sometimes, you know, not sure what to do. But I really think we could make 100 records as long as you can make songs, Nick, and we have you know, and it's always gonna be fresh. Like, we don't have a specific musical style, so it's always gonna sound different. So I would I'll play on every record as long as I'm able, physically and mentally able to. And then other than that, I want to do something with all these skills that I've learned. So I think either, like, I'll try to get a show together to pitch to some online network, or I'll try to find some people who I could maybe, like, teach this whole system to, that could do that themselves. Like, there might be people out there who have better things to say than me that might, you know, need I don't know. I want to, like, teach this system that I've been learning. But that's all I've got going on. But you should ask Jordy what he's doing, because he sent me this record that he made during the pandemic time, and you guys, like, when you hear it, you are gonna die. Like, it's
that sounds bad. That's a bad thing to say to people during a pandemic, that you're gonna die.
No, but it would be the sweetest. It would be the best death. It's
the best death.
Like, it's crazy. It's like I was floored hearing it. I don't know, Jordy. You can talk if there's plans for it to come out.
I don't even know if he's permitted to talk about it yet, but we'll go to Jordy. Evan, thank you for sharing all that info. That was great to hear, and I appreciate your measured optimism, I suppose. It's always optimistic, and I'm glad you're doing stuff. And if I may be so crass, if you're ever, like, stuck for a guest, I'm here, buddy. I'm just saying, I if you don't, I know you probably... Is there a photo of me in your studio? Like, do not admit... Like, am I not allowed to be on the show somehow?
No. If you follow me on social media, I'm constantly asking people to submit certain clips, and nobody ever does. So I just assumed, like, I don't really reach out to people, but sure, let's talk after, and I'll get you on for some reason. There's no
sorry to impose myself. I feel bad that I did that, but no, I just I like it. I want to take part anyway. It's great, and I'll link to all the stuff that Evan does. Jordy, some milk has been spilled A cat is out of the bag.
All advertising for each other on this. That's really nice.
That's my job. That's basically what I do. What is going on, Jordy, with you these days?
Well, first of all, I cannot wait for the prospect of a live Islands concert. I feel like the thought of being on stage with these fellows, it's like the biggest vacation in the world for me now, especially because I feel like I've only made like sad, quiet music kind of this whole year. And playing this record is going to be like such a wonderful release.
Yeah.
It's also going to be like a big challenge because it's so produced. So I am excited for that moment when we get to figure it out. I definitely have dreams about what it's going to be like.
Nice,
loading,
that's good.
Dreams of loading in.
We're going to have such heavy stuff. We're going to carry it up a big flight of stairs. It's going to be amazing. And yeah, in the interim this year, I made my own album at home, which was really great to get more into. I've always been able to do a little bit of recording at home, but tried to get deeper, tried to learn. I feel like all of us, one thing cool about the New Islands record is that everyone could produce every part of it. And Nick especially has been getting amazing at all the parts of production, I thought, in this album. But anyway, I'd made my own album, 10 songs. And yeah, just in the current process of all that planning stuff, which is not as good. I'm not as good at the self-promotion stuff, but yeah,
that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you.
Exactly.
Self-promote.
Vish wrote me a bio the other day. And awesome. Yeah, I got pictures taken. I'm going to be shooting a video next week. And
do you have a release date?
So we're looking for some videos end of June. And then through the summer. And then record end of the summer.
Is it the last I heard, it may be called The Apartment. Do you know what it's going to be called?
The Tower, it's called.
Oh, The Tower. I don't know why I thought. Oh, I was thinking of the movie.
You wrote that. Oh, yeah.
No, it's called The Tower. That's correct. Right. Sorry. But yeah, it was all recorded in your apartment. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Sorry, Evan, I cut you off. What were you going to say about something?
Oh, just that, Jordy, you should leak the album to Vish and Nick.
Well, I have it.
I think they've both heard it.
Yeah.
But maybe I haven't sent Nick the final, the masters or whatever.
But send me send me.
I will.
And who knows? Islands might need a support. might need someone to open for the show.
And personally, I'm just.
There's a weird old showbiz promise you just did there. That was weird. It's like a grease and wheels or something.
What? Evan and Jordy opened for Islands in Europe. Yeah. And it was
amazing.
As the magic.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was awesome.
But it was like a two-for-one sale, too, for sure.
Yeah, you guys had your work cut out for you at that tour.
But yeah, one thing about music that I love the most is when you perform, time kind of shifts. What's cool about playing with people you've played with for so long, and your brother is like, my brother's always on the other side of the stage, and yet, you know, we're making, like, if we mess up as Islands, we always know how to catch ourselves because we kind of have this, you're communicating without knowing it all the time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also excited, though, to as a solo artist, I think I have a very more vulnerable and bare kind of sense of communicating with an audience, even though it's, like, way scarier. I always find it more fun to be with a band. But I'm going to hopefully also play lots of solo shows in the coming time and get better at that. And yeah, do it all.
It's very exciting times. You're all very busy. And I appreciate you pointing out the communication that you have that is at least somewhat effortless, or it's been honed. I know there's a song on the new record called Closed Captioning that kind of speaks to what I thought anyway. I'm still working on my dissertation about the new album, but I believe maybe a breakdown in communication. Nick, is that a fair description?
I think that's a good assessment of the song. And that is the song that Jordy came and played on when he was in town for Coachella. So that was the impetus for the whole record. That was the starting point. That was ground zero. So
what you're saying is I just performed an incredible segue.
The what?
Incredible.
Well, we have to go out on a song, or we don't have to. I was actually hoping, because the new record, Islomania, is coming out as we're speaking this week. Very exciting, and people are going to get to hear the whole thing soon. But, Nick, I defer to you. If we can go out on a song right now, can you choose one for us? And if so, can you tell us a little bit about why you chose it?
I mean, I would be down to play closed captioning. It might be a little bit out of turn, but I think it's a great song that deserves a little shine. And outside of listening to it on the record, it why not? I don't know. Maybe I'll get in trouble by suggesting this.
Is there something? I don't want you to get in trouble, and I don't want to get in trouble. You get in trouble. I'm definitely getting in trouble. Is there a different song you want to pick?
I like getting in trouble.
Yeah.
It's getting you in
the
trouble.
The voice is going to talk again.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you are playing the wrong song. Please choose differently. No, is that the one we should go out on?
Alert. Fuck it. Let's play closed captioning. Let's let you, you segued it. You teased it up nicely. Let's play it.
Okay. This is closed captioning by the much missed and it's joyful. They're back. Islands is the band. Islomania is the new album. This is closed captioning. Nick.
This is a sneak peek.
Sneak peek. Yeah. Nick, Evan, Jordy. It is beautiful to see you all, even this way. I love you all very much. And I thank you for being on the show. And I wish you all the best of luck in the future.
Thanks, Miss Steve. You. That's really Thank nice.
You. Love ya.
While away on instruments, once again it's happening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, that was fun. Thanks again to Nick, Evan, and Jordy of Islands for appearing on this, the 617th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode that you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit my website, vishkana.com. You can like Creative Control on Facebook, I suppose. You can also follow the show on Twitter, at Vish Creative, or you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Vish Khanna. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to sustain this podcast. $6 or more grants you access to exclusive content, audio content, some visual content. As we're speaking right now, I just posted the first time I ever spoke with Neil Hamburger, October 11th, 2006. And it sounds like it was recorded by me in October of 2006. It's there. It's something. Anyway, you can find out for yourself if you donate $6 or more a month at the Patreon there. Oh, also, if you're interested in receiving a Creative Control t-shirt, please message me on Patreon and I'll get you one while supplies last. Again, more information about all of those things at patreon.com/creativecontrol. Thanks again to the fine Alberta record retailer Blackbird Music, which you can learn more about at blackbird.ca. Also live at massyhall.com, where you can watch beautifully captured concerts by some great artists from not only Canada, but from all over the world, actually. Also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton for their in-kind support for this show. Thanks, as always, to my dear friend Jim Guthrie for letting me use some of his music on this show. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. As a matter of fact, Jim connected to the Gordon Brothers and to Nick. They were in a band called Human Highway. Jim and Nick and Evan and Jordy were also in that band, as I recall. We did a tour together, and it's all blur. The Magic, Jordy's band, was opening for Human Highway. And yeah, I think they were all working together. Anyway, Jim's great. JimGuthrie.org for more information about Jim. And finally, thank you for listening to this episode featuring Islands. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you consider subscribing to the podcast and maybe telling your friends about the show, how there's something to this show and maybe they should subscribe to it or listen to it or something. Just helping to spread the word. That would be kind of you, but if you don't want to do that, that is also just fine. I will talk to you very soon. Bye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.